Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
Recently, we heard, or rather it might have been yesterday, where we heard that the Accounting and Corporate Regulatory Authority, Monetary Authority of Singapore, and the Singapore Exchange Regulation said that companies that want to have general meetings before April 30th are allowed to go ahead. And this is on the back of the government banning gatherings of more than 10 people and leaving many companies wondering what this means for their annual general meeting.
Mm-hmm. However, the AGMs can only happen if they allow shareholders to ask questions and vote by proxy and live stream the meeting. And to find out more about these measures, we're joined by Michael Tang, Head of Listing Policy and Product Admission at the Singapore Exchange. Well, Michael, can you tell us more about the proposed measures and what listed companies need to do to kind of conduct AGMs between now and April 30th?
Yeah, first, maybe let me give some background on AGMs. I think AGMs are important avenues for shareholders to do various things, and I'll highlight two. Firstly, allows shareholders to vote on key matters such as the appointment of directors or the issuance of additional shares. It's also a venue where shareholders are able to ask companies questions on the company's performance, the strategies, and how the company they have invested in is doing. As companies can hold their AGM 4 months after the end of their financial year, so April is typically a very busy month for AGMs for companies with December year ends. However, given the COVID situation, which is a very serious one, the Ministry of Health has announced increasingly stringent safe distancing measures. So I think this will make it very difficult for shareholders to attend meetings. Hence, the regulators that you mentioned, SGX RegCo, ACRA, the Accounting and Corporate Regulatory Authority, and the MAS, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, have yesterday issued guidance to the market on how to hold general meetings during this period. Essentially, I think we've highlighted two options for companies. Firstly, companies can choose to defer their AGMs to after 30th April and look at the situation then. Alternatively, if they wish to proceed with the AGMs before 30th April, they can do so, but given that listed issuers have a large shareholder base and given the safe distancing measures, I think a conventional AGM would not be possible. Instead, companies can do a meeting having the three following arrangements. Firstly, they must provide an opportunity for shareholders to ask questions. Secondly, the meeting must be shown by live webcast so shareholders can observe the proceedings. And thirdly, the meeting must allow for proxy voting. So shareholders must appoint the chairpersons of the meeting and direct the chairperson to vote in accordance with the shareholders' instructions.
So presumably, Michael, these will be virtual AGMs, yeah? How can companies, though, prepare beforehand? I mean, should materials be prepared and disseminated before the line of questioning that they have to give shareholders? How can they sort of prepare for that?
I think there's a lot of discussion about what constitutes a virtual meeting and what is a so-called hybrid meeting. And I'm not sure that everyone has the same understanding on what each of these terms mean. But I think what we've highlighted is that in terms of holding meetings, we want companies to adopt three things. Firstly, to allow shareholders to ask questions. Secondly, to allow shareholders to observe the proceedings live. And thirdly, to allow shareholders to vote via proxy. So in terms of preparing for these meetings, I think companies need to do various things. Firstly, in terms of allowing shareholders to ask questions, they can invite shareholders to submit questions in advance and then to address them either at the meeting itself or through their corporate website or through SGXNet, which is the electronic news dissemination platform that SGX maintains. Alternatively, I think companies can also organize a virtual info sessions through webinars or calls before the close of voting so that shareholders are able to participate and ask the board and management of questions. We would also expect companies to send out annual reports, proxy voting forms to shareholders so that shareholders are aware of the performance of the company and then can also vote in advance. Of course, to allow for shareholders to observe the proceedings live, then companies would also need to engage webcast service providers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, you mentioned shareholder voting. So I assume this is shareholder voting in advance or voting during the AGM itself. If that's so, then how is it going to be conducted?
I think the most common method that companies would adopt is voting through proxy, which is something that shareholders are today already accustomed to. So shareholders would need to fill in the proxy forms and send it in to the company through mail or email if possible. And in the proxy forms, shareholders would appoint the chairperson and indicate how they wish to vote.
Who is this chairperson, though? They appoint them, was it you said earlier?
Yes, so shareholders will appoint the chairperson of the meeting to direct the chairperson to vote in accordance with their instructions. The chairperson of the meeting is typically the chairman of the company who is chairing the annual general meeting.
How is he going to know, though? Say there's 300 shareholders, for example, and then they all have appointed him proxy to vote on their behalf. It just sounds a little confusing to a layperson.
So in the proxy form, it would be clearly indicated how the shareholder wishes to vote, whether the shareholder wants to vote in favour of a resolution or against the resolution or to even abstain from voting on a specific resolution. So the chairman of the meeting would be able to get all this information on how shareholders wish to vote their shares. And through the collation of all voting forms, there will be a result as to whether or not resolutions are carried or not.
Okay, so then how else can companies ensure that they adhere to the code of corporate governance then, Michael?
Yeah, well, I think one of the principles in the code really asks companies to communicate regularly with shareholders. And I think this extends beyond just the AGM season. But specifically, I think for AGMs, what the code requires is that companies publish meeting minutes as soon as possible and include within these minutes substantial queries and comments from shareholders, as well as the response from the management and board. So by publishing these meeting minutes, it will enable shareholders who are unable to observe the live webcast to understand what happened during the meeting and to appreciate the discussions brought forth.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're tuned to Money FM 89.3. We're speaking with Michael Tang, head of listing policy and a product admission at the SGX RecCo. Now, Michael, roughly how many list calls are due to have AGMs from now until the end of April?
We have about 400 companies with December year end. So that's about 400 companies that would hold their AGMs in April unless they ask for a further extension.
Right. If investors want to attend the AGM but don't have access to, say, online capabilities, earlier you talked about how that companies might need to get a third-party vendor in to help with webcast capabilities. It's beyond that as well, because you would need maybe the shareholder to have a microphone wherever they are at home. Beyond being able to see what's going on, they need to participate. What if they're not that technically savvy, don't have that kind of equipment?
Maybe firstly, to just paint the background, I mean, given the safe distancing measures, it's not possible for shareholders to participate in physical meetings. We do know that shareholders are also concerned about the COVID situation, but still wish to participate in EGMs. Now, I think we can all agree that public health and safety is of utmost importance, and while we want companies to continue a business as usual, we also need to do everything we can to combat COVID together. So what we've proposed in the measures that have come out is to strike a balance between enabling shareholders to ask questions in advance through emails, through calling the company, if that's something that the company is able to accommodate. Asking questions in advance to companies, and then looking at the minutes of the meeting, if they're not able to participate through a live webcast, I think that would be an area, an avenue for shareholders to keep abreast of the developments.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, it's good that we have some of these measures already, but have you had any feedback from the companies so far?
I think companies are also trying to figure out what they can or cannot do during this period. And we've had companies express questions about whether or not the new measures would be in compliance with the company's own constitution. So I think the Ministry of Law and the Ministry of Finance have also recently announced that they are looking to provide legal certainty by passing legislation to allow meeting to be conducted through the means I've mentioned. And the relevant authorities, SGX RecCo, ACRA and MES, would also look to how to further facilitate these meetings.
Michael, do you think going forward this will change the way AGMs are conducted in a post-COVID-19 world? I mean, anecdotally, we know sometimes AGMs can be quite festive. People like the food and the interaction and the lively exchange.
Yep. I think besides AGMs, I think one of the things that the COVID situation has made clear is that companies need to be up to date with their disclosures and keep shareholders informed of latest developments. This is a fast evolving situation, and every day I think we're seeing impacts on businesses in Singapore and worldwide. So firstly, I think we ask companies to disclose promptly and clearly how COVID has actually affected their business, their workforce, their outlook, and so on. And this would keep shareholders updated on what's going on in their business. But on AGM specifically, I think I would say that these measures that we've introduced are meant to deal with the COVID situation. I've received a text message that jokingly claimed that it is COVID that has led the digital transformation of companies more so than the CEOs and the CTOs of the world.
Yes.
but I think it is gratifying that companies themselves have responded so positively and promptly to these challenges. The question of a wholly virtual meeting, I think, is something that needs to be further considered. While having a virtual meeting has its benefits, we've also heard from both retail investors as well as institutional investors that they would prefer to meet the board and management in person so that they can better appreciate some of the comments or responses that the board or management have given. So I think this is something that we'll probably need to consider, consult and balance going forward, perhaps in better times.
Michael Tang, Head of Listing Policy and Product Admission at SGX Regco. Thank you so much for your time, Michael.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.